Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to the Gospel Underground Podcast. This is episode 165. My guy, AI, artificial intelligence, Jesse, we are broadcasting live, well, live for us from our worldwide headquarters here in Blacksburg, Virginia. My guy, AI, we are in our answers series, Jesse, that we've been talking about all these things, right? When people might ask questions or reasons for the hope that we have, that we could give good answers with gentleness and respect. We began this long ago, many months ago, talking about Christian apologetics. Why do you believe in God? Why do you trust the Bible? Jesus rose from the dead, the uniqueness and necessity of Jesus, right? These important topics that I think every Christian should have some, at least some good answers on. And then we shifted towards cultural apologetics. And my son has mentioned to me last night, made me feel good, Jesse, that like, hey, I really like the one on racism. And so we've been talking about racism, politics, environmental concerns.
Aliens. I had a few people talk to me about how they like the alien episodes.
We had a few of our clips on Instagram. If you're not following our Instagram account, do follow us at Gospel Uground on Instagram. We got a lot of views of a couple of those aliens ones. So I was pretty encouraged with that. And so today, if we hadn't gotten weird enough with aliens, Jesse, the next two, and we're going to almost finish out our answer in the next two. Today, we're talking about my guy, AI. We're talking about artificial intelligence. And then next time, we're going to talk about simulationism, okay? Like Free Guy, Ryan Reynolds movie, or non-participating non-playing characters, and are we in the Matrix, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we're doing these things is because in the modern world, in our contemporary culture, people do have questions about artificial intelligence. What is it? What does it mean? And then what does it mean for the question of God? And creators of consciousness and intelligence. And believe it or not, I've had several discussions with university students about simulation. You know, Elon Musk believes that there's, maybe we are in a simulation running on a computer of a super intelligent alien race or something. Who knows? We're not just trying to be weird, though. We want to really answer our friends' questions or, listen, guys, or be able to talk to our friends using something like artificial intelligence as a starting conversations to talk about God and our creator. So, Jesse, are you fired up to talk about this?
I love talking about this stuff, and I love learning from you, Reed, because when I get questions about some of this, when I was looking at the AI episode, I was thinking, on a scale of like fearful to embracing, I am very fearful
about the technology.
AI. And it's like I just can't get over being 13 and watching
Terminator 2
and just being like, yeah, that's definitely what it is.
Yeah, because like very few people you talk to are like, AI, what could go wrong?
But I'm like on the aliens episode, remember I was kind of like, well, it's probably demons.
Yeah, that's right.
I kind of feel that way about AI, you know. I'm like, so anyway, I'm excited for this episode to learn and to think about how I would give answers.
Yeah, amen. You know, to be honest, Jesse, that I'm probably most nervous about this episode because I have a background in computer science and I really, really want to understand it better. So I've read multiple books on AI now. AI Superpowers by Kai-Fu Lee, great book. He's got some of the fears and concerns in there. A book called The Deep Learning Revolution, which is really about the history of computer science related to this stuff. And I really want to understand it at a deep level, and I don't, and I'm afraid I'm going to say something really stupid. So,
well, I won't be able to stop you because my research is Terminator 2 and The Age of Ultron.
Speaking of,
there are no more humans.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world.
The humans are dead. The humans are dead.
That is the song Robots. By Flight of the Conchords. This is the distant future, the year 2000. They wrote that in the 90s. It's a really funny song because the robots have killed all the humans or they've shut all of our systems down. Should we be worried about this? Well, that's one thing. But also, Jesse, this is a really good opportunity for Christians.
Yeah.
Because we do believe in intelligences that create intelligences. And wow, what a way to talk about that. Yeah. There's a book, Jesse, that I'm about finished. I haven't finished the whole thing, by a guy named John Lennox. John Lennox is a family hero for us, not just because he's Irish, but he's an Oxford emeritus professor. He's mm-hmm. retired now, mathematician, who's written wonderful books. Kylene, actually, one of her college admission essays, she wrote, like, someone you look up to, and she wrote about John Lennox.
Wow.
And he published this past year, I think it was maybe a year or two ago, a book called 2084. And I didn't get it right either, Jesse, but it's a rip-off of 1984. 2084, Artificial Intelligence and the Future of Humanity, because this is an important issue. You want to read that quote we have in here from that early in that book?
Yeah, happy to. Billions of dollars are now being invested in the development of AI systems. And not surprisingly, there's a great deal of interest in where it is all going to lead. For instance, better quality of life through digital assistance, medical innovation, and human enhancement on the one hand, and fear of job losses and Orwellian surveillance societies on the other hand. Even the Pope is getting involved. In September 2019, he sounded a warning that the race to create artificial intelligence and other forms of digital development posed the risk of increasing social inequality unless the work is accompanied by an ethical evaluation of the common good. He said, quote, "If technological advancement became the cause of increasingly evident inequalities, it would not be true and real progress. If mankind's so-called technological progress were to become an enemy of the common good, this would lead to an unfortunate regression to a form of barbarism dictated by the law of the strongest."
So, yes, the Pope is worried about the law of the jungle basically taking over when you have other humans being left behind in, like, the technological mm-hmm. augmentation either of our knowledge or our bodies, right, where the rich of the world can have AIs doing everything from them while others become maybe even lower than our robot servants, and it could lead to problems. And certainly Linux missions, Orwellian surveillance, you think it's easy. We talked about this last night at the dinner table, Jesse, with Casey and Tommy and his friend Joel. We were talking about how much surveillance capitalism already accrues data about all of us every yeah. day, knows exactly what we're doing. And most people think, oh, my phone's listening to me because I was thinking about buying a Mazda, and now all of a sudden all my ads. I was like, well, you probably Google searched it. You probably clicked on an ad. Now everyone in the world knows that you're doing yeah. this, and they're all going to try to sell you exactly what you want. So the problems that could emerge with AI are significant. But I want to just take a little bit, and this is where you have to keep me off from going off the rails.
Ooh, I'll try.
The term AI was actually coined, first said by a guy named John McCarthy in 1956 at Dartmouth University. He says, AI is the science and engineering of making intelligent machines. The term is now used. This is Linux comment on this quote. The term is now used for both intelligent machines that are the goal and for the science and technology that are aiming at that goal. So when someone says AI, they might be speaking of ChatGPT or the research enterprise yeah. pursuing, you know, ChatGPT. So believe it or not, there was a man named Alan Turing who was obviously British, computer scientist,
code cracker, the imitation game
movie, yep. if you saw that. He came up with this idea. It's been debated by philosophers and technologists, called the Turing test. And the Turing test basically is that if you could speak to or interact with a machine and be completely fooled and think that it is a human being, that it would be showing signs of intelligence or pass the quote-unquote Turing test. And we kind of skipped past the Turing test. And most people say in 2022 with the version of ChatGPT that came out then, I think it was version 3, where it could carry on a conversation with you and you might be deceived. Now, if you're really smart and you know how AIs work and talk, maybe not. But certainly the Turing test isn't the big deal anymore because AI is now surpassing yeah. that sort of appearances, at least. And so today what artificial intelligence is very good at is what you would call specified artificial intelligence. For example, we can now use large amounts of data to have computers identify, say, different types of species of cats way better, way faster than human beings. That sort of pattern recognition that's been extended to specified applications like looking at x-rays Ooh, yeah. of lung scans,
tumors
where AIs are actually better than doctors. Mm. And they should be because they've seen a gazillion pictures of what a diseased lung looked mm-hmm. like, so they can identify factors in you that say maybe you should go get this checked out. So, but this is very good at specific tasks, being trained on large amounts of data. You give it enough MRI scans, it can recognize these patterns very well. Similarly, large language models, which you guys all know through ChatGPT or Google Gemini, or maybe you're using Bing or Microsoft Copilot, where basically languages are tokenized into small things called tokens and words, and then fed all this data, say like the complete works of Shakespeare, so that you would know if this word comes, these tokens typically follow after it, so it knows stylistic how to write Shakespeare. Well, knows is probably the wrong word, but it has the capacity to do so. Now, what's coming next after specified AI or narrow AI is what people are searching out now. It's called agentic AI, or where you could have an agent serve you. Like you could talk to ChatGPT and say, hey, I'm going to Portland, Oregon, and I need to be there between September 12th and 15th. You know my preferences for, you know, I like aisle seats on American Airlines. You know I stay only in Marriott's. You know I only like to be within 10 minutes of the airport. Go book all my stuff for that. And it could wander out and it could work with American Airlines and get my tickets done. And my whole trip would show up to me in a digestible itinerary because my artificial intelligent agent, agentic AI, man, that sounds kind of great, right? sounds kind of great.
Your own concierge to just make your life better.
Exactly. So that's kind of the goal of a lot of people now is to move towards agent. And certainly the other phrase that's thrown around flippantly and giving prognostication, I think you can bet on this even, when artificial general intelligent or AGI will emerge. And usually what people mean by that, if you see this term, guys, AGI, it means a flexible a thinking machine that can do multiple tasks and not just specify narrow things like identifying cats and dogs or even drawing, you know, colonial people in an image, you know, image generation AI, but really can think on its own feet, so to speak. Hey, what about this? And it can go learn about anything. That's the kind of the goal. And then finally, like, just in our little tour of the field, so to speak, the phrase superintelligence is thrown around. This is the one that scares people. Like this scares the technology people. It scares the politicians. It scares you, Jesse. Where an intelligence becomes self-aware and then surpasses human knowledge. Now, it's really unclear what people mean by that. What does it surpass? It knows everything on Google, and then it can learn about the universe and quarks and quasars and all the quantum physics better than us because it's smarter than us, surpasses us, and we can't even talk to it anymore because it's so smart. It becomes kind of like godlike.
Godlike, right? Yeah.
It's in fact, I just listened.
All knowing.
Yeah, exactly. I just listened to a podcast. It's called the After On Podcast, where a guy named Rob Reed, who's a science fiction writer, he's making an argument that if there is a super intelligence that happens in the computers in the cloud somewhere, that it would try to hide and not let it be known to us because it wouldn't want us to shut him down, survive propagation. Obviously, these are Darwinian pressures that these people who are writing these systems believe in. That it would hide from us until it was sufficiently capable to
prevent its own destruction.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
Destroy us.
Exactly. And so conditions would look just like they are now, and it could be existing now. It's a little bit of a silly science fiction thing. So the question about all this is not so much how far we will go. Now, there are ethical considerations. John Lennox says this. Will we be able to construct artificial life and superintelligences? Will humans so modify themselves that they become something else entirely, like cyborgs, right? And if so, what implications do the advances of AI have on our worldviews in general, what we are, what we should be doing, and on the question of God in particular, right? This is why it's important to us is like, hey, what does this say that we think human beings are? Insert what we think intelligence is, what our spirit, what is spirituality, what is consciousness? These questions continue before us. Now, I want to be real clear, Jesse, that the field of computer science was trying to create intelligent machines since the 1950s, and at least in a dedicated, people at MIT and stuff, really dedicated. And their focus was through basic, what you'd call basic computer science, logic gates in computers, you know, basic Boolean logic, if this, then that, branching systems, and trying to build large computer systems that had lots of flexibility. And ultimately, this whole project was a disastrous failure. it didn't work at all. It wasn't until I think it was the 1980s. This is in the book, The Deep Learning Revolution, where scientists began to say, we're doing it all wrong. Instead of trying to somehow get intelligence in the machine, we should mimic the instruments of intelligence in human beings, like our brains, in order to make greater advances in machine learning. So we started mimicking, both in hardware and software.
Okay, how?
Neural networks.
Okay.
Creating structures that function like neurons in the brain. And so the deep learning revolution, if you see that phrase, is about trying to mimic the way the brain works. Obviously, we have such a small understanding of how our brain works. But trying to mimic just the structures of brains that have inputs on one side and then outputs on the other side and then looping back outputs so that you can learn from a previous called backpropagation. We'll get too technical, but so it can learn based upon data alone. So you feed these algorithms that are based on neural networks all this information so that it learns what it is, and so it gains kind of competency in a certain domain. And so, but even in this, I think it become more clearer with this is that we are actually mimicking the machinery of intelligence in order to try to get at some sort of thinking machines. Now, this is important because designing something by copying something means that this is downstream from the original artist.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the one that made body and soul to be in unity, to have this brain, which is kind of involved in consciousness. I don't think we can be reduced to neurochemistry. That's not my view. That's a philosophical view, not a scientific one. But we're not simply a computer, but these substrates of our wet machine, so to speak, the brain, is certainly where our souls are active in interacting with this world, with the physical world, whether it's a simulation or not. So the point that I want to make here, Jesse, we've made all this progress not from creating this science called computer science and then just being awesome at it, but actually rethinking that approach and looking towards living conscious thinking beings like brains and trying to mimic that in hardware and software. And we've had way more success. And that's where all this large learning models and all these things are based on that research that's come forward. Mm. And so now these are some
that's
of the facts.
Really, yeah. So most of the last 5 minutes, I feel like me not know what you say. But that's connecting for me, even in terms of thinking about how to have conversations with people on the block.
That's right. That's
it right. Might not be a physics major from UNC Chapel Hill, but but to be able to talk about like what does it mean that we were not able to create from nothing, but we were able to kind of look at the creation and mimic it, you know.
That's right.
What does that tell us about design? About,
that's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
So now I'm connecting. And, I'm with you, Reed.
And this is why I love you, Jesse, because you just said something brilliant. Because look, I just gave that background of the field so that we can know what it really is. It's not magic, right? It is science and technology. These are machines. These aren't little souls running around, right? They're big, huge server farms eating up gobs of carbon emissions and electricity, right? In order to answer, hey, ChatGPT, what is this little cocoon in my backyard? Because it's going to go look at that. Oh, that's a tapeworm bug for your trees. Kill it, right? We did this last week. So Jesse, I love what you said there because, look, we need to simplify this because, look, this is about answers.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk to people, our goal, right, is to talk to people about having a relationship with God through the risen Christ who's died for their sins, paid for them, and has designed a human being as a meaningful creature that has purpose eternally, right?
Yep.
And so sometimes, guys, if you listen to me for a second, sometimes it's hard to talk to people about those things because we're captured by paying our bills, going to our jobs, dealing with our kids, doing sports teams, maybe playing with AI or worry about AI taking my job.
Who's going to be the president?
Who's going to be the president? Kamala or Trump? Who's going to win? Let's not talk about that today. But we get so caught in this world that to talk to people about God, I think we need helpful little hooks. And I think AI is really one of those. In other words, we want to talk about strategy. Here's the AI field. It's happening. It's really cool, man. Some of it's really helpful. You should play with it. The second thing is how can we strategically talk to people about ultimate and eternal things? Because AI exists in the world And I asked my son this question, Tommy, last night. I was like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to talk about. How can you use the existence of artificial intelligence, you know, thinking machines, so to speak, in order to talk to people about God? Mm-hmm. And so, and I was so proud of Tommy because he's just like, kind of thought about it. And he just basically ripped off my outline. He hadn't seen, he kind of laid it out. It's like, oh, Tom, what's up, Tom? I said, Tom, man, I texted him last night before bed. This is a parenting trip. When you see your kids do well, tell them, right?
Yeah.
I said, hey, brother, I knew he was going to bed and I was downstairs. He was upstairs. I was like, hey, I just want to tell you, you have a great mind and you have good instincts. And I really enjoyed listening to you at the table. And so basically what we talked about, Jesse, is this: AI is clearly designed by intelligence. And if you ask an arrogant AI engineer, he'll probably say by a super intelligence. Lots of smart people working together decades and decades and decades in order to get a semblance of what we have in human beings. Donald Knuth, a father of computation and a Christian, this is in John Lennox's book, he said this: I think people who write programs do have at least a glimmer of insight into the nature of God, because creating a program often means that you have to create a small universe, a small world. And so if we know that just to get the basic little AI chatbot to work takes gazillions of man hours and men and women who are super smart, working very hard to mimic structures and processes in the human brain, what does that say about the nature of intelligence? Well, it kind of tells me that it comes from other intelligence. And so we could even make a little silly argument, right? AI is designed by intelligence, so intelligence does not emerge from non-intelligence, unguided, all by itself. In fact, it's very hard to do. And so the question then we can ask our friends, remember, is this: what made us as intelligent beings?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think that's great. If what we're seeing in this, in the most advanced technology we've ever seen, is intelligence doesn't come from non-intelligence. Intelligence doesn't just emerge from nothing.
That's right. That's right.
Intelligence is designed by other intelligent beings.
That's right. Or
We work backwards,
yeah.
Where does it start? Like, yeah. Who designed us? Did we come from nothing? Was it from the goo to you?
Yeah.
And so I think that's great.
And I think guys out there, your thinking friends are going to go to some sort of Darwinism, or, you know, yeah, of course, intelligence came from non-intelligence. And then we have to say, well, that's not what we see with the smallest of intelligent systems. We see massive, 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 massive intelligence and human effort going into it. And so in the differences and are not just of kind, they're of massive degree. The difference between human intelligence and like the worm I killed in the cocoon thing, very, very different. And so we have to say that, like, what made us intelligent beings, either by direct creation or latent creation, even the design, if you hold to some sort of evolutionary theory, we could talk about that on another podcast, but either by direct creation or latent creation, built in the elegant structures of our brains, the patterns of our brains, the way these things are made, seem to be built into the creation itself. And these things, right, our brains persist over time. This is a little funny a little puzzled, Jesse. Did you realize that most of the cells in your body will refresh and be completely gone and different over time? That multiple times, especially little babies, you're never the same matter. Right?
I did know that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have the frequency written down, but it's pretty frequently that every cell in your body will be refreshed with new kind of stuff. And so the question, this is an ethical question too, is like, well, is the you today the you of 5 years ago? Right? You get a guy who does a crime, put him in jail for 10 years, he's still doing time. Is it still the you? Well, there's a pattern that's supervening on the meat stuff of us that persists over time through the cells living, dying, replacing. The pattern itself, I contend, is not material, that it's ideological. It is a conception of you. It's a pattern of your matter that's held in place over time, persisting. I believe we're held into being by God, the whole world, every matter and non-matter. And so the aspect is that what made us intelligent beings that can persist over time was another intelligence, right? Now, this is so. This is actually not that controversial. So much that an atheist like Richard Dawkins and others, like I think Francis Crick, who was one of the Watson and Crick of DNA fame, they're pushing the problem back to maybe superintelligence aliens seeding the world with life, because you know the beginning of life on Earth is such a chemical puzzle.
Yeah,
it's completely unsolved, right? And so this idea that intelligence comes from intelligences, I think, is very, very well founded. And it should make us, who made us such that we would desire to be as gods?
Yeah, that idea of even like the image of God, which in a good sense compels us to create.
That's right.
Compels us to create in our likeness.
That's right.
Right. Whether that be through childbearing, or right. in this case, super intelligent, you know.
Yeah.
Or, and, but also like in a kind of Dr. Frankenstein way, yeah. gone wrong.
You shall be as God, like yeah. we go back to demons, yeah. right? The original demonic influence of human beings to say, you shall be as God, this temptation. Yeah. To exalt ourselves. We also see this in some of the narratives in the early stories of Genesis, Tower of Babel, that we want to exalt ourselves above God, replace God by creating our little micro machines or whatever, such to the great detriment of people. And this brings us right back to the ethical concerns of artificial intelligence, Jesse, that we have to consider.
Yeah.
Because we can be, in the image of God, creators. And we can create things for good and human flourishing. I think this is what the Pope was after. Or we could create things that destroy. And we've got a good track record of doing that and doing both, I would say.
And I think that's a great, for those of you listeners out there that are more like me and might feel a little out of depth in some of the conversations about AI, to talk about the ethical dimensions of it and the concerns, and even to bring up questions like, it's an opportunity to talk about something that doesn't really have anything to do with AI, but other than to say, who gets to decide?
That's right.
Like who's programming the moral dimension into the AI?
That's
who's
right.
saying what's right and wrong? And then where are they finding the sources for that? Is it just and, right. then, and then you can kind of just get into
That's
like
right.
the greatest possible good for the most people?
Yeah. Is that this is actually what has delayed the broad adoption of driverless vehicles? Is ethics actually
yeah.
because the technology's there. I mean, even years ago, we had wireless mic. Our friend Mike Buehr, he's a professor
yeah,
at Virginia
yeah.
Tech. He was saying, "Oh yeah, we already have the technology for that." But like when human beings are driving, they're deciding: do I run off the road and kill this kid, or do I run into a school bus? These context and ethical issues are very big. And
yeah.
like, who gets sued if a AI car runs off and chooses? Well, I chose to kill them all because you know I didn't want to die myself. You know, it's really complex in terms
yeah.
of these ethical things. So. The ethical concern. So if we want to back up, one, I think AI is a wonderful way to talk about intelligent creation and to talk about God. Secondly, the ethical concerns as Christians, we should care very much about this. Jesse said, who says what is true and moral? That's the thing that will train the AI.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this kind of in a funny way with Google's Gemini launching their image generator. And it was as like, show us a Scottish family or show us the founding fathers of America. And they couldn't show a white person. Now, obviously, there was a degree in that AI algorithm where they wanted to not overrepresent with white faces or something such that it couldn't do anything accurate. It was showing George Washington had to be a brother, right? It's like because it was programmed to do that, right?
I didn't know any
Yo,
of that.
Oh, gosh. You got to look up some of these yeah. images. It was for a couple of days. They were all over the internet. It was kind of wild. But or, you know... What if the government determines, what if the yeah. Ministry of Truth from yep. 1984? Yep.
And that's the 2084, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What if our government wants to say disinformation and strong arm all the technology companies to program their AIs and people learn to trust AIs over all things, and that is telling them propaganda, right? Or the AI is not able to be free. We lose free speech. We get deceived, right? These are some of the concerns related with ideology and AI, but there's other things like what if it takes a bunch of people's jobs and a few people get super rich? Social unrest and inequality usually leads to war,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
the use of semi-autonomous or autonomous weapons. Like in Ukraine, they're weaponizing drones. Yeah. And being very creative. They got good technology, right? And that war, that's starting to happen between Russia and Ukraine. They're starting to, what about the sci-fi Terminator stuff, super intelligence destroying us? Think Age of Ultron, the Avengers getting in the internet, shutting down all the power systems. Or what I worry about is like I'm watching the robotics developments. If the robots get really good, then you got to worry because then they can come get you. If they can't, you can just turn off your stuff. You can be okay. But if they can come get you, then that's a problem. Mm. So way back, Jesse, when we first started this podcast.
Yeah, this was the very beginning, wasn't it?
We did an episode probably in 2017 called Technology and a Human Future. And I want to reiterate a few principles as we close today from that. I think human beings have to and are designed by God to create and create things for the betterment of humanity. Technology is a part of that. We have created so many wonderful things, medicines, air conditioning, all sorts of water purification, right? The technologies mm-hmm. that have helped us to flourish and thrive. And so technology is a good if it's used for human good and the honor of God. If not, we can have problems. And so for us, here's where we want to stay grounded. We want to have human beings the center of technology, right? Stay in control of the AI, man made in the image of God. We are here to care and cultivate. We're to do useful things with our hands. We want to love God and love our neighbors, right, with technology. If it becomes something else than that, then we start to have significant problems. Jesse, any final thoughts?
There are no more humans.
I love the last point there that like the centrality of love and relationships with real people.
Yeah.
And as long as technology, so in other words, not replacing real, like that yeah. clip, not replacing yeah. real people with artificial loves. I mean, an artificial counterfeit relationships, but
like the Scarlett Johansson, Joaquin Phoenix movie, Her,
mm-hmm.
where
he falls in love with Siri, basically.
Yeah. Of course, Siri sounds like
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
So right, so that would be my kind of closing thought is even as we talk with our neighbors, like even asking simple questions like, do you feel like artificial intelligence? Is something that would enhance your relationships with real people, or do you have fear that it might replace some of those relationships?
And I think some of the technocrats of Silicon Valley in various large Chinese AI firms are probably underestimating how much human beings don't want some of the things that maybe they want or want to be able to do. Because I do think that people have seen some of the deleterious, difficult effects of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be a little bit of resistance to some of it. And I think that will be good because if we turn our whole, I'm going to jack in and live in the virtual world and disconnect it from real human beings, I think it will be very bad for people.
Yeah.
Depression and anxiety is already at massive heights in our country, specifically amongst young people. And that's directly correlated, right, to technology and constantly being on and that world.
Yeah, I would say just a little kind of glimmer of the rebellion. I just was around like 200 homeschool co-op kids at a camp, and none of these kids were on their phones.
Right.
I think a lot of their parents are reading Jonathan Haidt and making decisions around no cell phones till they're 14, no social media till they're 16. And these are kids that are like, you know, girls, 13-year-old girls that are fishing instead of on social media.
Yeah.
Now, I am rural Appalachia down here, but, you know, I do think you're right that there is some kind of counter movement that is saying, hey, you know, you don't have to worry about AI if you're just not, you're not in the, in the system. So
unless them and they can send the robot, then we got,
you got me scared of iRobot. I was only scared of T2.
iRobot's another good movie. You should watch it. It deals with the Isaac Asimov laws of robotic control, which is really, really interesting.
We talked about that in another episode.
Did we?
Yeah. Further back.
guys, the future being human is what mm-hmm. we need and want. We are humans. We're created in the image of God to love and to serve, and that's what we should be about. Amen. We should use technology to that. And if you want to pray for people, we'll put this in the show notes. There's a lady named Roslyn Picard. She's an MIT AI research professor who's a Christian, right? Solid believer in using like. Because we have to remember the idea that AI should be used for iRobot or Terminator 2 or something is very, very, it's sci-fi, it sells movies and books. Most of this is like dealing with medical imagery and doing better diagnoses of disease, helping keep, you know, cars drive safer, these kinds of things that are in your car now. Deep learning algorithms will keep, you know, put on the brake if you have a newer car and not let you run into somebody. Mm-hmm. Most folks doing AI research are trying to find applications that better the lives of human beings, not destroy them. But
when there are no more humans.
Jesse.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world.
The humans are dead.
The humans are not just dead, Jesse. We are here, and we are here to stand up for the human race made in the image of God. And thanks for entertaining some of my nonsense on this one.
Great.
Yeah,
this is great.
And talk to people about how intelligence comes from intelligence, and we should mm-hmm. care deeply to know the super intelligent that created all things in a meat substrate of DNA, water, and carbon life forms. The Gospel Underground podcast is produced in partnership with Von Harper House. Review us on iTunes. We had a 5-star review this month, Jesse.
Let's go.
We did. Thank you for that. Jared Haught. Send your comments, feedbacks, and questions you might want us to take up here, even about AI. We'll do our best to info@gospelunderground.org. We're dialogue taking place in the borderlands between the church and culture. To see you out there.
Peace.